Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Thank you for helping us to get to Haiti. Providing that way. That was honestly a God thing. And I'll have to tell you why it was a God thing. It was really a God thing. I have flown numerous times. And in 2002, I guess, our 25th anniversary was in 2001. And we wanted to go to New York City, but could not go. Because, well, the Lord wouldn't let us go. We were planning on it. We were going to be right downtown in the midst of it. And the Lord, it just wasn't working out. So we ended up in Gatlinburg. And so the next year, we did go to New York City. The flight there was wonderful. It was a wonderful time. And then on the way back, I honestly thought the plane was going to start falling apart. It hit turbulence, and it didn't stop. It just kept on going, and it was shaking so hard, I thought, oh, Lord, I know that it's impossible for a plane to possibly stay together in shaking this hard, and I said, Lord, if you get me down out of this, I will never get on another plane, and he did, and I said, okay, thank you, God, no more planes for me, and so for all that time, I would not fly. I said, if I need to see anything, it's right here in my country. I'll see it right here in my country. That's how I thought of it. And so when Pastor had that dream, he didn't tell me anything about his prayer, about anything. He just said, Lord, this is my fleece. Pam will say yes when I talk about it. And hesitantly, I did say yes. It wasn't like a positive, okay, I am going. I'm excited about this. No. No, no, no. It was not that way at all. Actually, I really didn't want to go, but because he wanted to go and really felt like I needed to go, I thought, okay, God, I'll go. And so that's how I decided I would go. But, you know, because of having a willing heart, you know, God honors a willing, obedient heart. I know he does that. And I had a willing an obedient heart to do that. Even though I really didn't want to, and the enemy tormented me like day and night, he would try to torment me. I said, no, no, absolutely not. You're a liar, and I'm going on this trip with my husband. And so God's mercy, because of obedience, I believe, we had no clue where we were going. I mean, we knew we were going to Haiti, but where do you go in Haiti? I mean, there's places. This lady, God knows I'm not called to be a third world mission lady. He knows that. He didn't call me to do that. So, but I was willing to go. So I know he honored that because he put us in a compound. I mean, most of the places around there have a wall, a cement wall around them, a tall cement wall with iron gates. I mean, solid iron, not like ornamental iron. No, solid iron gates or steel gates. And that you only open from the inside. So somebody opens it for you, you know, when you beep the horn or whatever. So God put us in this beautiful place, and it had to be the Lord honoring me because Haiti is not like this in most places. They had a beautiful swimming pool. We do have some pictures, but it was beautiful. The room I did bring, I will confess, I went to Walmart and got those things. You know, you plug in the wall and it's supposed to keep creatures away. Well, you only usually need one for a whole big house. I put two in one tiny room. I said, nothing is entering this room. Nothing except us. Nothing. But there was a little gecko that used to torment me at night. I know he was in our room somewhere. because he would do this. As soon as we would lay down in bed, he'd go. I thought, well, you little creep, you just better not come out because you will be a dead gecko if I get a hold of you. But he never did come near us, thank God, because I think the whole island of Haiti would have known something bad just happened. But anyway, so God's mercy, honestly, in putting us where he put us with the kind people that we were with, where we felt very comfortable and peaceful. I didn't feel fearful because I had already told Pastor, I said, now listen, this is the only rule I have. You can't leave me. I can't be by myself anywhere, nowhere, zero. I said, but I'm going with you, but you just can't leave me. But he did have to, but I felt very peaceful through it all. But go ahead, Eric. This is where Haiti is on the map. It's actually 700 miles from Miami. That's all. So it's very close to us, and yet it's a third world country. It's hard to imagine that, honestly, when you get there. They're only 700 miles. I mean, I drive to my daughter's, you know, and it's probably almost that far. And I think it's like 500 or something to her house. So it's hard to imagine that little place is there, and it's a third world country, very poor. An hour and a half, actually. An hour and 36 minutes is what it took us to get there. So go ahead, Eric. This is the Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday. No, it was not. This was a Thursday. We went to a Bible study that there's the missionary. Her name is Betty. She has a widow's Bible study. Usually it's on Wednesdays. And she feeds, they feed the widows every Wednesday that she does it, usually a sandwich. But once a month they have a big meal. Like rice and beans. And if they're blessed enough to have a piece of meat, like a little chicken leg or something like that, they will. But anyway, these...
Interject back and forth. Betty is 85 years old. She's been a missionary for 40 years in Haiti. Her and her husband started this mission. Her husband was a builder, contractor, very successful.
Very wealthy.
Very wealthy in Ohio. And she has three boys. Her husband died not long after they started this. They felt called to Haiti. She and her husband, Philip, now are...
Her son,
Philip, run this couple of missions there in Haiti. But I want you to see her face. This is the lady I had the dream about on Easter morning. God gave me a dream that I was to go and honor a lady who had been a missionary for over 40 years, and I didn't know her face at that time, but lo and behold, this is her. And we'll tell you a bit more about that as we go along, but they're doing a great work there, and they have really suffered and paid some tremendous price to be there. One of the reasons that we do know for sure that God sent us there for that particular time was to encourage her and her son and minister to them personally. God gave me a word for her son. I held on to it until there was just the right time. And then when I delivered it to him, he said, yeah, that was right on. And his mom agreed. She said, that was the word that my son needed to hear. It helped him. So we know success right there was God sent us to encourage missionaries. You know, people in the mission field or ministry probably need more encouragement than anybody because there's so many discouraging things that happen. They had been in part of, started several missions, schools and things, but mission organizations where they'd have sponsors to help them through the years. And there's a lot of disappointment has come because they would have boards to kind of regulate their mission and oversee and accountability. And some of the board members would want to take over, or they'd want to run it their way. And you know how churches are sometimes, you know? And they have been through 40, 45 years of a lot of disappointment, heartache,
but faithful.
Yeah. And still there. And she's 85 years old. And she has a home in Vero Beach, but
a little mobile home,
but has a house there in Haiti. But all right, so let's go on. Mm.
This is Philip and his wife.
Her son.
Yeah, Philip, her son, and that's his wife, Stephanie. She's from Haiti. She's a beautiful, precious Haitian woman.
Let me tell a little bit about Philip. Philip, back in 1980 something, he was kidnapped by gangs in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Yeah.
He was driving his van into Port-au-Prince to do some business. I don't know if you know anything about Haiti, but there's been a lot of coups and a lot of government disruption. And during this time, there was a lot of gangs and stuff, and they saw him. The gangs shot his tires out, shot him. He got shot in the shoulder and in the ear. They stopped him. Pulled him out, not really knowing who he was, but they held him as hostage for 2 days. He still suffers from post-traumatic syndrome, and part of the word I had for him was about healing for that. And anyway, he was kidnapped and held for ransom. FBI got involved. There was an organization that helped him get free. They paid some money to these gangs, actually. And when they found out he was a missionary and didn't have any money, they kind of lowered their ransom.
But you know, this post-traumatic stress syndrome, every day this really wicked gang member, I mean, they killed people just for the fun of it all the time, would come to him, I don't know, I think he said he had a machete or something, and would sit there and say, "I am going to kill you and I'm going to cut your head off." I mean, every day he would just torment him that way. And so you can imagine what that kind of does. But so that's Philip and Stephanie, his beautiful Haitian wife, who is honestly, she's very quiet, but she has quiet strength, just quiet strength. She reminded me kind of like of a princess, like a strong princess. But anyway, that's Stephanie.
And so you know, the scripture says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Mm-hmm. Look at that guy right there. You're looking at a guy. He has been persecuted. Mm-hmm. And he's still on the mission field. A lot of people, during a lot of mission organizations, during the coups and when they get very dangerous, they packed up and left. He stayed. He's still there. And his mom is still there. So we were there to honor them and to bless them. And you did that by sending us as well.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go on.
Go ahead. That's the Caribbean. That's the portion that, you know, Haiti does not have a trash pickup at all. They don't have trash cans. Like outside trash cans in public places? No. So, of course, what do you think the people are going to do? It's going to go on the ground. There's no place to put it, so it goes on the ground. And that area does have, like, lots of bottles, it had lots of trash on it. Go ahead.
Dugout.
That's a dugout. Little boat that they used. Go ahead, Eric. That, I'm going to tell you what the name of that kind of truck is. It's called a top top. And that is the way that most people get around the island. You see people sitting on top of there. Sometimes there's children sitting on top of there. Sometimes they're hanging onto the side. They go to school that way. And the cars are going like 55 miles an hour, just so you know. And there's really no rhyme or reason how they drive. They can go whichever way they want to. And you just hope and pray You get out of the way before they do, before they get to you. I'm not exaggerating at all. So anyway, those are all over the island that you'll see that.
There is no speed limit. That lets you know something. So if we want to help people grow in their prayer life, we want to send them to Haiti and drive on the road. I'm serious. You will pray. You'll learn how to pray really fast because there is no speed limit.
No stop signs, no lights, nothing. They just drive. And buddy, when I say they drive, they just drive. That's not exaggerating. See how crowded? I mean, that's the side of the top. They're sitting there, but there's like people on the other side, all in the center, and then whoever can't get in, you get on top, you hang on. That's how they travel. And it's like 1,000 degrees there. I'm not exaggerating. It's like 1,000 degrees. And these ladies, they have to be the strongest women I've ever met. They carry things on their head. Now, she's got like food up there in a strainer or something. I actually saw a lady walking very fast with a rectangle cooler on her head, this big. She didn't use her hands. She's walking and she's going, and that thing is staying there. I don't know how that happens, but it was amazing.
Roger, you're laughing over there. Come on. Roger is from...
Uh-oh,
he's going to do it. Okay, he's going to show us how... hey, look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Esteban, where are you? You need to learn from this. Just using your head, man. Roger's from Jamaica, so they know how to do that. Yeah. This is a little market. It looks like a flea market, but this is an open market where people go to shop.
On the side of the road.
Yeah. Tell them what you saw there that kind of distraught you.
I will tell you what I saw that truly made me distraught, and it was as we were leaving, thank God. But and it was early in the morning because we had to be at the airport at 7:30, and Port-au-Prince is like an hour and a half away from where we were. So we had to leave early. And we're driving, and on the side of the road, I see something similar to this. It looked like a giant flea market, and people were already there. And by the road, like, let's say this is the road, and this is the part of the area that starts the flea market. And laying right there, there were a bunch of goats, and they were just laying down. I mean, not in a natural way, they were laying there. And I said, how come those goats, are they dead? Are they just dead and they're giving them meat, selling them as meat? And they said, no, they're not dead. I said, well, why are they laying there like that? He said, their legs are tied, front and back are tied, and their mouth is, I guess, muzzled or duct taped or whatever. And I said, well, what are they doing with them? He said, they're selling them for meat and they'll kill them. And I'm like, okay, you already told me more than I needed to know. I mean, wouldn't it have been more humane just to go ahead and slit their throats and bleed them out and then sell them as meat there instead of letting them lay there and suffer in the heat all day? But that's my American thinking, so. But that really made me a little sad when I was leaving, so. Go ahead, Eric.
We ate goat while we were there. I did. Pam didn't, but and it was very good, to be honest with you. I really did. I thought it was excellent.
He loved it. I told him I wouldn't. I just know that I'm not going to eat meat when I'm there. I'm an instant vegetarian. When I go to the island, I'm a vegetarian. I'll eat rice. I'll eat beans. I'll eat the vegetables, the fruits. But immediately, I said, no, just no, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not eating meat, because I knew that they probably would eat goat and they do eat other animals that are like domestic to us, like, you know, dogs and cats, but because they're starving. I mean, these people are literally starving. They're very hungry. Those little ladies at our Bible study, most of them were so frail and thin. I can't even tell you, they're thin. And so when they brought out the big bowl of rice and beans that day to feed them, they would take like two or three bites, and then they all had these little black bags that they, plastic bags like Walmart bags or something, but they're all black. They would take them out of their little bit purse or whatever they had, and they would put the food, they would dump the food in that bag because they're going to go home and they're going to feed the family members that do not have food. And that's what they're going to do. And they will stay as skinny as a rail so that they can feed and be very hungry so that they can feed family members that are at home. So that's what they did. I just kind of looked around and I'm watching them all pulling out their little bags after they took two or three bites. Not enough to fill their bellies, I know, but and that's what they did. They surely did.
The Haitian people are sweet, loving, kind. You fall in love with them right away. They're very happy. That was something we noticed. They're very happy, and they don't have the things that we would say are necessities to live, and yet they're very happy. The danger of us as Americans going over to a country like Haiti is that we come in and we think immediately, well, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to fix this, and we need to give them that. And actually, that could be the worst thing that we could ever do. We need to wait on God and listen to God. And don't think that we need to make them like us. It may be we need to become more dependent upon the Lord like them. Yeah. They're strong in faith.
Yes, they are.
And they worship God. This is the inside of a church that this was the Feeding the Widows was behind this church building. But this is inside the church, has a balcony. I got to preach there Sunday morning. We'll see another picture or two in a minute. And it was packed. And it was wonderful. No air conditioning, of course, but there's a nice Caribbean breeze that comes through there. And people are dressed for Sunday worship in their finest clothes.
Oh my goodness.
And church starts at 7 a.m. in the morning.
They have Sunday school at
7 a.m. in the morning. And it lasts until
when they're done.
That's probably about 1 o'clock. So don't ever complain about church service being too long.
No. Actually, by the time we got there at 9:15 maybe, they already were in full-blown worship. Full-blown worship. They were already in, I guess, probably at least an hour they had already been worshiping. And then they worship probably another 45 minutes
at
to
least.
An hour.
Yeah, at least.
Again, it was so beautiful. I mean, you could sense the Spirit of God in there and the joy of these precious people. Oh, just beautiful. Go ahead. You want to tell that? This is little Pastor Movan. He is 75 years old, and he's a little thin, frail man, and look at, he happened to be doing that, and I was sitting back, and during church, and I didn't want to be rude in any way, but I had to take a picture. I just had to take a picture, because that was most beautiful sight. To me, what it reminded me of is in Revelation, where it talks about Jesus coming back, and his hair is as wool. I mean, I looked at that beautiful white hair. I mean, it's pure, solid white, his beard and his hair. And that just instantly, it just reminded me of that scripture verse.
I want to say some things about this man. He reminded me of, of the man God used to start Azusa Street, William Seymour. Because he was blind in one eye, and Pastor Movan, blind in one eye, He's 75. He and his wife started a school that you'll see in a little bit of 877 kids up in the mountains about 2.5 hours away. He started several churches. He's 75 years old, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. He had a lot more energy than we had. And when we first met him, and I went with him up in the mountains, and I listened to his story through a translator and how he and his wife started with nothing, I was so moved by his dedication and his commitment. At this church and with him, we did not want to come across as if we're Americans and we're here to bless you and help you. By no means. We're here to learn from you. And so when it came for time for us to pray, not only did we pray for them and the widow ladies, but you'll see some other pictures, we asked them to pray for us because we need what they have. They have strong faith in God, and God has provided for them. They have been through difficult trials, and it's what's made them strong. But this man, I would say, is like a modern Apostle Paul. I was really blessed just to be in his presence. And I asked him when we were up in the mountains, I said, Pastor, I knelt in front of him, and I said, would you lay your hands on me and pray for me? I want what you have. You're a mighty man of God. And I prayed for him, and we had a heart-to-heart connection. In fact, while I was preaching in his church Sunday morning, I was wearing a gray vest, and I believe the Lord showed me even before I got there that morning, you take that vest off and you give that to him as a symbol of you're giving your heart to him. You have a heart-to-heart connection. And so we did that, and so you just love this man. He's a mighty man of God. Let's go to the next one. This was what was going on during worship. I want you to see. This is one of the worship leaders and one of the assistant pastors. And this is like up there in the front we were sitting. And they're facing the wall. They're not looking for anybody to see them. They are worshiping. They're tuned. I can envision that happening here. And it has happened on occasion where we just are so focused on worship. Look at this young man. I mean, they are during the worship. They're focusing on God. They're not looking for anybody to notice them or anybody to pay any attention to them. They're just focused on God. And I was really struck by their sincerity and their passion in worship.
Yes, yes. No, about that beautiful girl who was kneeling up against the wall, she was the worship leader. And it was so, I mean, the anointing was so strong when you were in there. There she is again. It was absolutely powerful. And some of the songs you could recognize by the tunes. They kind of have some of the songs that we do. So you could recognize them by the tunes. So you could sing along in English as they were worshiping in Creole. But then that other picture was her kneeling. I mean, it was amazing how different ones would get up and lead a song in worship. She did most of it, but then different ones would. But she was over there up against that wall during a prayer that was so powerful. And I'm telling you, we are so impatient in America. I don't know how to... We are so impatient. When the man, and he may be on here, I'm not sure, but there was a man who got up to pray. And when he prayed, oh my goodness, all I can say is, it was merci, merci, Seigneur, merci, Papa. And I mean, it was so, they were so thanking God. And he prayed with power, banging on that pulpit. And he prayed. I'm not going to say it was like, it wasn't no 2 or 3 minutes. Oh, no. That prayer went on and on and on. And in an American church, can you imagine that? Honestly, can you imagine that? And it was just beautiful. It was so powerful. Go ahead. And this young boy, I wish we could zoom in on his face. I'm going to say he might have been like 14, maybe. His eyes, honestly, and it is so weird because their seats are like facing this way, so you have to look, you know, that way. But that young boy, his eyeballs, I'm not kidding, I think he stared intently at Pastor when he was preaching. I mean, because he had an interpreter, he stared intently. And then the scripture verses, he would sit there and look in his Bible, and then he'd look up again, and he's just, and his mouth is open just like this. I mean, he's just staring like, He was a hungry for the word young man. I mean, I was so moved by him. And of course, I had to get another picture. I'm like, I asked him, I said, is it okay if I'm taking pictures? I said, I don't want to be rude. Or they said, no, that's perfectly fine. They know Americans are going to do that. I said, well, I don't want to just be like an American doing that. I said, but they said, no, we know that people want to see, you know, what really Haiti is like. So that young boy, I'm telling you, he moved me more than anything else because he was so hungry, and the way he just, through the whole service, that's what he did.
That's what we want to see in our people, hunger. This guy was mesmerized. And remember, he'd already been there since 7:00 in the morning. So by the time I'm preaching right now and he's licking, it was probably about 11:30, something like that. So he's already been in church since 7:00. You'd think most little boys would be taking a nap, yeah. You know, but he's hungry. He's got the word open, and he would not move. He was laser beam locked in. Let's go to the next one. Okay. There's some of the little precious people and the children. Pam was a child magnet. They all just clung to her. And there's another little sweet girl.
That little girl is, her name is Danya. She became very attached to me. I mean, like glue. I mean, so, and she didn't, I guess she didn't think that this old white lady knew what she was wanting her to do, because she put her hands like this. And I instantly knew. I mean, I have a lot of granddaughters. So we started doing that, and we started going so fast. She was 4 years old. She had a little dress that was like a size 2 on. And it wouldn't zip. And she was there at the women's meeting. She was so proud. And I'm telling you, I fell in love with that child. But the child before that, that baby was getting ready her. She's getting ready the following week, I think, to fly to Cuba to have heart surgery. So that's that sweet baby girl. Okay, this is up in the mountains. The one mountain, the one where Pastor Movan went with Pastor, I was not able to go. I did have a vertigo thing happen one day. And so that's the day I was alone on the compound. But I felt very safe. I did feel very safe. And there was a young... Yeah, this is a school up there, and these precious babies just got out of school. And they're looking at us like, who are you? You know, I mean, they didn't know us from anything because it's way up in this mountain. And but they started smiling and laughing, and we were giving them suckers. And so we got a picture with them. But next one. This little lady is one of the widows. She was so tiny and so frail, and she lost her home in Hurricane Irma. And she was the tiniest, sweet little thing. And she just loved, just to love, you know, just to love on you. She was so precious.
This is the time we were there in the backyard praying for the widows. And there were some men there. And they prayed for us as well. Go ahead and go to the next slide as well. Yeah, they were praying. They prayed for us. They get on their knees. Yeah, they're on their knees to pray. This is dirt, and they just, you know, no hesitation to. They pray. They really pray. They pray out loud. This is some of the food the widows' ladies were eating. And go ahead. This is the Washateria. Yeah, it's where they may have some closer pictures, but this is the people washing their clothes. So when your washing machine breaks down, don't complain. Yeah, don't complain. They're washing their clothes. It's where they take their baths. So this is just life for the average person in Haiti. Go ahead. This is the back of this house had already been blown out from a storm. So I just took a picture to show you that this would be the inside of a home that where they have concrete. I mean, most places wouldn't even have a floor. Most people do not have a bed. 70% of the world does not sleep on a bed. Do you realize that? 70% of the world does not sleep on a bed tonight. So when you get in your bed tonight, just thank God for a bed. Most people in Haiti sleep on a piece of cardboard. Okay, go ahead. This is a medical mission. Why don't you tell a story about that?
The doctor that started this medical mission was one of the children where Miss Betty and her son started the school, and he went through there. And once he graduated from there, they said, well, we want to help you. I mean, because he was very interested in medicine. Well, he went on to become an amazing physician and I think surgeon. And so he started this beautiful medical mission up there way in the mountains. And he also goes to Port-au-Prince and does some medical stuff there. But that's his mission up in the mountains.
Yeah, here's an example of someone full circle redemption. Yeah. He was a child, orphan. His parents died. Betty and her husband at that time, when he was alive, took him in. They fed him. They raised him. They put him through school. And he goes on to medical school, comes back, and instead of going to America to make big bucks, he comes back right there in the mountains, the poor area where he was raised. And this looks like it's downtown somewhere. No, this is up in the mountains. There's nothing around. There's shacks. There's nothing. And all of a sudden, you come to this little spot in the road, and you see this beautiful, nice building that he built. And it's a free clinic, and people come from all over. You got to imagine, most people never see a doctor in their lifetime. Never see a doctor in a lifetime. And so he comes there, and that's just what he does. So that's full circle redemption. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. Okay, go ahead to the next one. Is that it? Is there more? Oh, I want you to show this video clip. Pam was spontaneously speaking to the women. This is out under the almond tree. There's an almond tree above them there. It was a shade. It's where she's speaking to the widows. Go ahead.
He has never forgotten you. Never forgotten you. He sees you. He's with you.
Amen. Amen.
And he will not forsake you.
It's gone.
Never. 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 You call his name, and he will be with you always.
Yeah, I do. That sweater I had on, this little precious little widow lady, you know me. You've seen me enough. Get up here and boo-hoo, and the tears come, and I couldn't help it. I'm seeing those precious ladies, and I just felt like I needed to let them know that God is with them. He hears their cries. He will not forsake them. So anyway, I'm of course crying and wiping tears. And this sweet little lady, the red and white striped shirt, you saw her, she had a little yellow hat on. She came up to me and she lifted my sweater up and she was patting my face and wiping my tears. I was so moved by that. Oh my goodness. I was so moved by that. But anyway, go ahead, Eric. That's more of the river. I've never seen a river that beautiful and clear. where they wash their clothes. It's so beautiful and clear. I'm like, what kind of river is clear and beautiful like that? I'm like, okay, Lord, that's your favor on them as they have to wash their clothes. You give them that beautiful clear water. That's all I can think of. But anyway, that's up in the mountains. Go ahead, Eric. You want to say this?
This was a church that Pastor Movon, one of the many churches he built, that the roof got blown off from the last hurricane. And that's the pulpit, actually, they made out of concrete. And they're, you know, looking for people to put a roof on that and stuff. They were showing us that. But I honestly prayed about it. I don't believe God told us to do anything just yet. Just wait. Just wait. There's so many needs there. You could be overwhelmed with the needs. It could become your full-time task. There's a lot of missionaries in Haiti. A lot of mission, or a lot of American missionaries. There are a lot. We met several while we were there. You just don't latch on to a need. You need to really be still and listen to God. We're not there to fix every need. You know, that's not our purpose. Let's go on to the next one.
I wanted to just say one thing. That church, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I was exaggerating about 1,000 degrees, but I'm not exaggerating. This church is like right on the edge of a cliff. Like when you just step out, you hope that little bit of ground that you're on right there. See that little piece of ground right in front of those rocks? You hope and pray that holds, because that's where it is. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, of course, the mother in me and, you know, grandmother, I'm like, but where are the children? You gotta make sure you got them harnessed to you, because if they go walking out and decide to walk near the edge. But that's how close to the edge that church is.
Okay, let's move on. I want to show you some other quick pictures there. That's a well. Probably some missionary organization built that well there. But here's the danger. Once the mission organization has built the well and they give it to the village and stuff, somebody can come along and, take over and kind of strong arm things and say, well, you're not going to get water here unless you pay me.
Yeah.
You see, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of corruption in mission organizations. Okay? And not in with ones we were with, but we learned a lot about. There's a lot of these mission organizations that send you a picture of a child and say, you know, if you send $30 a month, we'll make sure this child will write you a letter. And well, some of that's legit, but a lot of it, you're paying a $100,000 salary for somebody to sit in an office in New York. So you got to be careful. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We're supposed to be discerning. Okay, so anyway, I just want you to be aware. That's the missionary. The missionary made me aware, you know, a lot of this is corruption. These people will take over and, you know, so you just don't throw. We can't think throwing money at a situation is going to fix a problem. Amen? Okay. Just beautiful little children. Let's go on. We'll show you some more, just a few more pictures. There's a taxi right there. Taxi! There you go. Hop on the donkey. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, it was up in the mountains there. Next one. Those are Haitian 2x4s.
They're protecting the garden.
Actually, they sell sticks there, and people will use them as, you know, for fences or whatever. That's a garden there. Go ahead. Just the beautiful mountains down at the bottom of the shore. You see there are some very fancy resorts and beautiful homes. Some of the very wealthy live there. And then, but 80% of the population is extremely poor. Okay, go ahead. There's a crab on the seashore. Yeah, go ahead. A little boat. Didn't get to go swim in the Caribbean. It was beautiful. Go ahead. Next one. Oh, coconut. This was a thrill. That's not the.
That's on the beach.
It's on the beach. The guy would take a coconut and chop the head off, and you drink coconut juice and open up fresh coconut, which was very good. Go ahead. Little boat out in the Caribbean. Go ahead.
Let me tell you about that young guy. That young guy in that boat, I was watching him. He probably was maybe a teenager. I'm going to say he's probably about 17 or something. And he was out in that little boat. I forget what it's called, but he was coming back in, and he jumped out of the boat. And I mean, you know, my mama heart is like, I'm looking like, where is he? Where'd he go? And I said, okay. I said, that young man just jumped out of the boat. I don't see him anywhere. I mean, I'm like thinking, did he drown? They said, no. They said, he's probably gone down. He saw a lobster. He's getting the lobster. You know, they fish that way sometimes. They'll fish that way. But anyway, so that's what he was doing. And he could hold his breath longer than anybody I know. That's why I was getting a little concerned, like, okay, where'd he go?
We have a lot more pictures and a lot more videos, but for the sake of time, we're not going to show any more tonight. We'll show just the sunset. What we're going to do is Eric's going to help me. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to develop on our website where you can go and tap into that. And I'm going to narrate. Pam's going to narrate some, and we'll narrate the whole story. There's so much. We were there for 6 days, but 6 days was packed. Every day was incredible adventure. I'll share on the video about the preaching. There were young men there on the dirt floor in front of us, just laid out. And one was there long after church service was over. He just stayed there, just the power and the presence of God in a suit on the dirt floor, and just wonderful, intense worship. So we're going to make a video on our website where you can go and you can watch it at your leisure at home, and we'll narrate, we'll tell you all the details. There's so many things, not enough time on a Wednesday night to show you all that. Just wanted to give you some highlights. But thank you for sending us, first of all. I believe the mission primarily was to go encourage Betty and her son and minister the word to him. There's no particular mission that I would say right now that, yeah, we definitely need to start this and we need to do this, other than I think we need to continue to support the widows down there that Betty ministers to. And that's not a large amount of money to help her with that, and possibly to help Philip in feeding some of the children.
That's his heart.
And so we're going to continue to pray about that. Just briefly, are there any questions, or you got a couple of questions? Sure.
How did you hook up with them? I mean, I thought at the beginning you said that you didn't really know where you were going to go. How did that come about?
I certainly didn't know. We knew we were going to Haiti, but we did not know, like, is it in a compound? I honestly, I had no. Yeah, but Pastor, remember, had that dream. Then he goes to Ria Voss's husband's funeral, and there's the mission lady.
Through that connection
That he met. And that was her. Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, and she invited us, and we honestly didn't think too much about the invitation to come down to Haiti at first, but then the dream was confirmation. You need to go, and you need to honor this lady, missionary, who's been there for 45 years. Okay. Yes, sir. Show the children singing.
Can you show them singing?
I don't think we have that video up there, do we? The children singing. Okay, if you can load it up. Yeah, it's beautiful to hear the children singing. Somebody else, question? Yes.
I'd like to know, Pam made the flight going because she was so nervous after what happened the first time, and how God dealt with you with that.
Honestly, first takeoff always bothered me anyway. So Pastor almost lost circulation in his hand and arm on takeoff. The first time. But honestly, once we got in the air, it was wonderful. And then on the way back, I was absolutely at complete peace. It was just a beautiful flight. And even when they said, you know, keep your seatbelts on because there's a little turbulence, you know what? I didn't even think about that last time. It was just like, okay. And it was really not a horrible flight at all. It was beautiful. So God really was very merciful, honest. That's what I say through the whole thing. I will. I'll fly to my daughter's instead of that 12-hour drive.
Do you have it up there, Eric, yet, or are you still working on it? Okay. Well, I will tell you one thing. One of the things was, would we take groups of people down there? Yes and no. It could be a very dangerous place in Port-au-Prince. I would not want to take children, and I would not want to take young teenagers. I really wouldn't want to do that. I would not feel safe doing that. I trust the Lord, yes, but I would not want to do that. And I would, if the Lord leads us to take a group down there to be a short mission trip for that experience, or maybe for people to find out if they want to plug into some mission down there, or help Philip with the feeding the children, or Betty with the widows and things like that, that'd be a wonderful. But I would do that with adults. I would do it with people who don't have necessarily physical limitations, walking. There's a lot of walking. It was a 2.5-hour ride up in the mountains, about 5 miles an hour over a rocky road. No, I'm going to ride on the ledge. You know, so you got to be somewhat physically okay to do those kind of things. But safety is a concern. I mean, one thing I noticed and one thing I learned from this trip, from not a good experience, was that I would insist that the missionaries who were there when they picked us up at the airport and they had their people there, you need that because you're swarmed with people. You know, and you don't know, it's not like America. So I would insist on going back that when we leave with a group, if we go and leave with a group, that the missionary stays with us until we are at the gate of the flight, because you're swarmed with people, you can't understand what they're saying, and sometimes you get taken advantage of with giving tips out. It did cost more in tips than because everybody, they make their money off of tips. There's not many jobs, and that's another story. We'll get into that later. Are you going to show a little bit there? Okay, go ahead. These are some of the children in the school in the up in the mountains. Okay. Five children at one desk. This is a school up in the mountains. There's the outhouse. How would you like to use? Go ahead. How would you? There's ladies. How would you like to sit down on that? And otherwise, it's just a bush. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right, Wayne. You had a question.
Had any restrictions? What you could do? What you couldn't do? Taking pictures of stuff that you're not allowed to.
I know that they did say don't be taking pictures of people unless they're with you, like the widow ladies. They were good with that. The little children, they were fine. But just to take pictures, and I did take a picture in the airport when we first entered. There was a Haitian band there playing, and I did take a picture of that. But they do tell you don't take a lot of pictures of people. They're not liking that. So
it's yes, Miss Shirley.
What kind of money do they use? What kind of money do they use?
They'll take American money, but they have their own money there. But it's equal to about, from what I understand, a dollar to about 1/13th of an American dollar. But Don't be fooled by that, because we did go out to, the missionaries took us out to a couple of restaurants to eat, like at one of the resorts, and it was very pricey. It was like comparable to here, and that food wasn't worth it for what we paid for.
I want to just say, they're on island time. When I say island time, I mean really island time, because all I did was order a club sandwich. And we didn't order big, hard meals. None of us did. But it was an hour and a half. We were waiting there. Thank God the Caribbean was beautiful to look at. We could walk around looking at the resort stuff. But it was an hour to an hour and a half. And it was just like mine came out. Then a little while later, somebody else's came out. So it's island time for sure.
Because you believed in us and helped us, we were able to go very easily. I was amazed at the generosity of the church. The money that I predicted we needed, about $2,300. That was plane tickets, staying at the guest house, a few meals, plus $500 gift to the missionary there that was driving us around every day. And we gave $100 also in addition to that to Betty, just to bless her. And we, with the extra money, even people gave above and beyond that, we came back with $509 to return back into the church. And would like to just pray and see about giving that some of that back to Betty to help feed the widows, and maybe Philip too. So it did cost a little more than what I had predicted. The guest house was $50 a day, not $45. But the tips is what surprised me. I was really caught off guard by how much money you need to give. And I was asking the missionary, how much money do I need to give the Sky Cab? How much money do I need to, and anytime, I mean, I drop my, for example, we're at the airport and I drop my sunglasses and a guy comes running up to me with my sunglasses, you know, and, oh, thank you, thank you. And I take my sunglasses and he goes, oh, and then that's just the culture. That's it. So I had to give him, you know, a few dollars. And it's like, that's just what is expected. And so I was a little caught off guard by how much the tips were a little bit more than expected. But it all worked out. And we came back with surplus because of your generosity. So we'll be doing, that's enough for tonight. We'll put up, a video on our website in the next couple of weeks and narrate it and give you all the fine-tuned details from there. So let's stand. Thank you for your interest. I believe that God wanted us to encourage those missionaries. They needed it. I believe that He wants us to help feed those widows, and that's a very easy thing for us to do. Whether we're to take groups down there in the future here, we're going to pray and just wait on the Lord. No quick decision needs to be made about anything. But Father, we thank you. We're all on a mission. The mission here in our own Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria, and then to the other uttermost parts of the earth. We're on a mission to present Jesus, the revelation of God's truth and grace to the whole world. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege of allowing us to do that in Haiti in some small way. We pray that the impact will be lasting and fruitful. And we thank you. Thank you for missionaries who have given their lives for spreading your gospel. Thank you for congregation with compassion and generous and listened and obeyed the Lord to help us accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. And we thank you for it all. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.